We begin 21 lines up from the bottom on Daf Ches Omid Beis. The Gemara before discussed the holiday of Kartasim mentioned in the Mishnah, which the Gemara explained is the holiday that the Roman Empire, the Romans celebrate when the Romans led by Augustus defeated Cleopatra and Mark Antony in that war. But the Gemara also discussed an additional war which preceded that war that discussed the Roman expansion by defeating the Greeks, and that war, that victory, was only achieved through a partnership that the Romans had with the Jews, and as a result, the Gemara tells us, for 26 years, the Romans treated the Jews fairly, and then afterwards, they changed. So 21 lines up from the bottom, the Gemara now discusses the source or the idea behind this how do we know about this 26-year time of peace? Esrin v'shis shnin dekamu behemenusayu b'hadi Yisrael minalan. What's the source for knowing about this 26-year treaty between the Jews and the Romans? To Amar Rav Kahana, Kishachala Rabbi Yishmael Bar Yossi Shalchule Rebbe. When Rabbi Yishmael Bar Yossi was sick, they sent to him, Rebbe, our teacher, Emor Lanu Shnaim Ugimel Dvarim She'amarta Lanu Mishum Avicha. Tell us two or three things that you heard in the name of your father. Amar Lahu, so he said as follows, the following three things. Mea Ushmonim Shana, Kodem She'nechrav Habayis, Pashta Malchus Harisha Al Yisrael. 180 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans already began their siege against the Jewish people. Pei Shana, Adlo Charav Habayis, 80 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Gazru Tuma Al Eretz HaAmim Be'al Klei Zechuchis, the rabbis made a decree that all of the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael are ritually impure. If a Kohen any Jew who walked into those areas would become ritually impure, Val Klei Zechuchis, and that the idea that glass vessels, can contract ritual impurity. That there's no discussion in the Torah about the status of glass, and therefore the rabbis decreed at that time that glass could contract ritual impurity. And finally, Mem Shana Adlo Charav Habayis, Galsa Sanhedrin, V'yashvala Bechanut, 40 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we are told that the Sanhedrin was exiled from its place in the Lishkas Hagazis and was moved to an area called the Chanut. Rashi says it was a place on Har Habayis, and its name was called Chanut. So it didn't move that far away, because the Lishkas Hagazis was by the Beis HaMikdash, was in the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Chanut is in very close proximity to where the Sanhedrin originally was. So those are the three statements made by Rabbi Yishmael in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara asks, "My hilchasa, what is the halacha? What's the purpose of telling us these ideas, or at least one of these ideas?" Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, "Lomar shelo dano dine knasos." The purpose of telling you this story, specifically the last idea, that the Sanhedrin moved from the Lishkas Hagazis to the Chanus, it teaches you that from that point of when they left the Lishkas Hagazis, they were no longer able to adjudicate on laws, on penalty laws. As Rashi says, the laws of Ones Umefate, rape and seduction, Shloshim Shel Eved, all these ideas where the rabbis would impose a penalty on individuals, they couldn't rule on them any longer. Why? Because Dine Knasos, as Rashi continues to explain, number one, needed to be done in the Makom, in that place. And if you were not in that same place any longer, you were not able to make those judgments. Not only that, the other requirement that was needed, and which is going to relate to our Gemara, is that you needed to have Smicha. And in order to rule on cases on dine knasos, you need to have a special type of smicha, not the smicha that we have now, a smicha, a tradition that was passed down from generation to generation. So now the Gemara continues and says again, this halachic idea, says Rav Yitzchak, that once the Sanhedrin was moved from the Lishkas HaGazes to the Chanos, they could not judge penalty laws. Dine knasos al kataytach. Do you really mean, says the Gemara, that to tell me that they were not able to adjudicate on dine knasos? Ve'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, bram zacharos so ish letov v'Rav Yehuda ben Bava Shemo. Don't you remember? We have to remember for good Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Shel malihu, without him nishtachu dine knasos miYisrael. Without him, all of the penalty laws would have been forgotten. In other words, as the Gemara is going to explain, that even after the Sanhedrin moved, and even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they were still adjudicating on penalty laws because of the great work of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what? Now the Gemara, before it tells us exactly what happened with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the Gemara says, Nishtachu, if not for the fact of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the laws would have been forgotten. Ligrusinu, what do you mean? Just teach them. So rather, that word meant something different in this context. Ella, butlu dine knasos miYisrael. Rather, if not for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, the penalty laws would have been nullified because they would no longer be in practice. Why? What happened? Shegazra malchus harisha gzeira. The Roman Empire made the following decree: Kol hasomech yehareg, v'chol hanismoch yehareg. Anyone who gives smicha will be killed. Anyone who accepts smicha, who receives the smicha, will be killed. V'ir shesomchin ba techarev, a city which confers smicha will be destroyed. Utchum shesomchin bo yeaker, and anyone within the Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 amos around the city, will also be uprooted. That was the decree of the Roman Empire. Ma asa Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava do as a reaction to this decree? Halach v'yashav ben shnei harim gedolim u'ben shtei ayaros gedolos ben beiz t'chumei Shabbos ben usha l'shepiram v'samach sham chamish zekenim Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua v'Rabbi Avia Mosif af Rabbi Nehemiah, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava went and dwelled between two mountains, between two great cities, between two Tchum Shabbases, measuring from each area, between the city of Usha and Shapiram, and there he gave smicha to five or six great Jewish leaders against the decree, against the Roman decree. Kivan shehikiru behem oivim, when the enemies found out what was going on, Amr lehem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said to all of his students, Banai, my children, rutsu, run away so that you are not killed. Amru lo, they said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rebbe, v'yata mate alecha, what about you? What are you going to do? Amr lehem, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said to them, Harini mutal lifneim ke'even she'ein lahovchim. I'm going to stay here like a stone that can't be turned over. I'm not moving. Amru, they said, lo zazu misham ashenoatzu legufo gimel meos lulnios shel barzel va'asa'u legufo kechvara. The tradition has it that he was speared 300 times by iron rods, and his body became like a sieve. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava stayed there so as to take one for the team. He wanted to sacrifice himself, let him be killed, and that would be enough then to allow the others to escape unscathed, and perhaps they wouldn't even pursue them later on. But what we see from this story is that dine knasos, penalty laws, were able to continue to be adjudicated because he passed on this special type of smicha. So it sounds like you don't need a special makom, a special place, to adjudicate dine knasos. Dine knasos can be adjudicated anywhere so long as there are those rabbis who have this special type of smicha, which then brings back the question, what's the significance of the Sanhedrin moving from the Lishkas HaGazus to the Chanus? So therefore the Gemara gives a different response. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, lo tema dine knasos, el shlo danu dine nefashos. Rather, what it means is the significance of the move from the Lishkas HaGazus to the Chanus was that they no longer judged issues of capital punishment. My time, why did they stop ruling on matters of capital punishment? Kivan de chazud in the fishil who wrote schim. Since there were so many murderers at that time, there was so much fighting going on. Velo yachli lemedan, they didn't want to have to judge on each case. It was too much for them. Amru, they said, mutav nigli mimakom lamakom. It's better that we exile ourselves from one place, meaning the Lishkas HaGazus, lamakom, to another place, to the Chanus, ki hechi de loli chaybu, in order that we can't condemn anyone to death. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says, ve'asisa al pi hadavar asher yagidu lecha min hamakom ahu, that you will judge the matters that you're told from that place. What place is that? The Lishkas HaGazus. Melamed, says the Gemara, Shehamakom Gorem. It's the place which causes us to, or forces us to adjudicate. And as so long as we're not in the Makom referring to the Lishkas HaGazus, you are exempt. The rabbis were exempt from adjudicating. Tosfos says, since when does Makom only mean one particular area, the Lishkas HaGazus? Maybe Makom means Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is also called Makom, with regards to certain aspects, with certain laws. Tosos' answer is that with regards to Dine Nefashos, only the Lishkas HaGazus is called Makom. And then he asks, well, Chanus is also on Har HaBayis, nevertheless, and therefore it should be called, considered much as a Makom as the Lishkas HaGazus, because they're in the same area. Nevertheless, he says, Mikol makom lo haya samuch l'shchina ke Lishkas HaGazus. It wasn't as close to the Shechina as the Lishkas HaGazus, and therefore makom specifically refers only to the Lishkas HaGazus. The other interesting idea that emerges from the Gemara is that the way that this halachic smicha can be passed down. Halachic smicha can only be passed down from one generation to the next. In other words, the smicha that we have now is not a real type of smicha. That smicha was passed down from generation to generation, presumably according to tradition, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that smicha, although it continued during the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it did not continue forever. At a certain point, smicha stopped. However, the Rambam has a different idea. The Rambam says there's another way to reintroduce halachic biblical smicha. And that is, if everyone in Eretz Yisrael would agree to bring back smicha, if all the rabbis get together, they confer, and they agree that this is what they want to do, then smicha is possible again. Based on that Rambam, Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, in the 16th century, tried to bring back the halachic smicha, and he, in fact, did give smicha to the Beis Yosef and others before he died, though he was vehemently opposed by Rabbi Yaakov ben Chaviv, who was living in Yerushalayim at the time, as well as the Radvaz, who was against Rabbi Yaakov Beirav. That is all based on the Rambam, which tells us an alternative way to reintroduce the idea of smicha, but the Gemara here seems to tell us that there's only one way to have halachic smicha, and that's when it's passed down from one generation to the next generation, stemming or dating back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. In conclusion, the Gemara that we started out with, the question was the 26 years, how do you get to that calculation that there was peace for 26 years? That wasn't answered now. That's going to be answered later. The Gemara then went on a tangent and spoke about the concept of the Sanhedrin moving from one place to another and what the significance of the move from the Lishkas HaGazus was to the Chanus. And we ended off that the significance of that was that they were able to get out of or exempting themselves from judging on matters of capital punishment due to the heavy increase in murders during their time.